From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first headlines. Foreign capital inflow beginning to increase. Ministry prepares criteria for businesses to receive recovery stimulus. Now the news in details. Bank Indonesia revealed the flow of foreign capital into Indonesia has begun to rise from the first week of June this year, reaching 7.01 trillion rupiah on the back of improving investor confidence in the country's economy. As quoted by Antara, Bank Indonesia's Governor Peri Warjio in an online press statement on Friday stated that the confidence of investors, including foreigners, in the conditions of Indonesia's economy is getting better, and that has been proven by the flow of foreign capital into government bonds. The Bank Indonesia's Governor revealed that since the second week of May 2020, foreign investment has continued to flow into government bonds and bonds instrument, reaching 2.97 trillion rupiah. In the third week of May, it totaled 6.15 trillion rupiah. In the fourth week, it stood at 2.5 trillion rupiah. And in the first week of June, it was registered at 7.01 trillion rupiah. The Industry Ministry has readied criteria for business sectors eligible to receive recovery stimulus under the National Economic Recovery Program, PEN. As quoted by Antara Industry Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita in the statement on Friday stated that one of the criteria is linked to the absorptions of workers. Kartasasmita stressed on the importance of giving special attentions to the labor-intensive sector to enable those engaged to continue operation and prevent them from conducting mass layoffs, while simultaneously maintaining the people's purchasing power. He explained that it holds significance since these sectors absorb a significant number of workers and any shocks in the sectors will affect workers and their family. Stimulus in credits and working capital for recovery of the manufacturing industry is covered in the PEN program as stipulated in Government Regulation No. 23/2020 on implementation of PEN amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Indonesia and the United Kingdom are united in the push for providing affordable vaccine to all levels of the global community, including in remote areas, said British Ambassador to Indonesia and Timor-Leste Owen Jenkins. He made the statement at a virtual press conference in Jakarta on Friday. The ambassador said the joint desire of both countries was reflected in the Global Vaccine Summit held by the Vaccine Alliance, Gavi, on Thursday. Ambassador Jenkins said that he is very pleased to say that the UK and Indonesia are united behind this approach, the desire for an affordable vaccine which is accessible to everyone. The summit was attended by more than 60 ministers and heads of states and governments, including Indonesia's Minister of Health, Terawan Agus Putranto, who spoke in support of affordable and accessible vaccine in his video message. The Gavi Summit was held to raise funds to provide vaccine to 300 million children in the world's poorest countries before the year 2025. The fundraising target was set at $7.4 billion. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Brussels and London pledged Friday to step up the pace of Brexit trade talks to try to strike a deal by the end of October after the latest round of negotiations ended with no major breakthrough. European Union chief negotiator Michael Barnier accused Britain of backtracking on divorce terms agreed last year, as he reported no significant progress in 4 days of talks held by video link because of coronavirus. The former French minister set an October 31 deadline to reach an agreement on future of the European Union and UK ties to give time for it to be ratified before the end of the year. Britain left the European Union on January 31st and is now in transition period until December 31st, when it will leave the bloc single markets and customs union with or without a trade deal. Barnier's UK's counterpart David Frost noted limited advances and asked that both sides intensify and accelerate the work in order to clinch the deal. Barnier also said the next round of talks would take place in late June or early July as officials talk of a busy summer ahead for negotiation. Temperatures soared 10 degrees Celsius above average last month in Siberia, home to much of Earth's permafrost, as the world experienced its warmest May on record, the European Union's climate monitoring network said on Friday. The Copernicus Climate Change Service C3S said May 2020 was 0.63 degrees warmer than the average May from 1981 to 2010, with above average temperatures across parts of Alaska, Europe, North America, South America, swath of Africa and Antarctica. C3S senior scientist Freja van Borck told AFP that Western Siberia in particular has been unusually warm for several months running. She said that the really large anomalies started during January, and since then the signal has been quite persistent. Globally, the average temperature for the 12 months to May 2020 is close to 1.3 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, the benchmark by which global warming is often measured. Fiji announced it was coronavirus-free Friday after the island nation's last known infected patient was given the all-clear, continuing the Pacific remarkable record of success against the virus. There was panic among Fiji's 930,000 population when the first COVID-19 case was reported in mid-March, but strict isolation measures and border controls kept the lid on infection, which peaked at 18 confirmed cases. Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama attributed the country's virus-free status to answer prayers, hard work, and affirmations of science. He tweeted that Fiji had just cleared the last of their activities COVID-19 patient, and even with the government testing numbers climbing by the day, it's now been 45 days since they recorded the last case. With no death, the country's recovery rate is 100%. The Pacific Islands were initially seen as among the world's most vulnerable to the virus because of the under-resourced health infrastructure and high rates of health condition, such as diabetes and heart disease. The United States regained 2.5 million jobs in May, and the unemployment rate dropped as coronavirus pandemic shutdown began to ease, raising hopes the economy could recover from the crisis sooner than expected. The Labor Department report released Friday, which shows the jobless rate fall to 13.3%, defied even the most optimistic expectation among economists, who had been expecting job losses of more than 8 million and a jobless rate of 20% or higher. President Donald Trump immediately cheered the data, once again violating the government's rules that prohibits comment on economic data until 1 hour after release. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news analysis today on U.S. labor market unexpectedly improves as restrictions ease. The U.S. economy unexpectedly added jobs in May, surprising economists and analysts who had forecast millions more losing their livelihoods and raising hopes of a faster economic recovery than expected. More than 2.5 million people were newly employed last month, the Labor Department reported on Friday, but that follows a record drop of more than 20 million in April. The unemployment rate fell to roughly 13% compared to almost 15% in the prior month. Much of the rise in jobs was centered on hardest-hit industries in food services and drinking places, which added 1.4 million jobs and accounted for about half of the employment gains. The leisure and hospitality sectors overall added 1.2 million jobs. But what explains the unexpected jump, and should the numbers be taken at face value? It makes sense that more people would become employed as stay-at-home restrictions eased. More than 95% of Americans were under some form of lockdown order in the month of April. By May 19, all 50 states had begun some partial reopening of their economies. Healthcare employment increased by 312,000 in May as dentists, doctors, and other healthcare providers were able to see patients again. The construction industry also benefited, with 464,000 jobs added in May, gaining back almost half of April's drop, while retail added nearly 368,000 jobs. But not all workers benefited equally, as joblessness among African Americans and Asian rose, signaling some minorities face a longer recovery as the economy slowly rebounds from the coronavirus shutdowns. The unemployment rate for black workers aged up to 16.8% in May, from 16.7% in April, and for Asian workers it rose to 15% from 14.5%. In contrast, unemployment for white workers fell to 12.4% in May from 14.2% in April, a record drop. Chris Rupke, chief economist at the MUFG in New York, said that the country has turned that corner from the pandemic and the recession it created for now, but all the workers who lost their paychecks will find it difficult to regain their place in society, as many of these jobs are gone forever. It took years for the economy to grow enough to find jobs for those unemployed in the last recession, and it will take years again, this time, to do the same. In the meantime, Wall Street surged on Friday after strikingly upbeat May jobs report unexpectedly provided the clearest evidence yet that the U.S. economy is headed for a quicker-than-anticipated recovery. The Nasdaq reached its all-time closing high reach in February, but pared its gains to end the sessions of hair's breadth below it. All three major U.S. stocks indexes advanced 2% or more. The S&P 500 and the Dow are now 5.7%. and 8.3% below their respective closing records. The benchmark S&P 500 is now 1.1% below its year-to-date break-even level. Listener, that was News Analysis. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news from across the country. First news comes from Jambi. The Siginje Museum in Jambi province challenges the millennials and Jambi residents to compete in a creative documentary contest with the team A Million Stories Behind the Siginje Museum of History. The contest with millions of rupiahs awards held by the Culture and Tourism Office of Jambi Province is using the tagline, Museum in My Heart. Siginje Museum head Leni Nurleni in Jambi last Thursday said this was the first event to take place in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition to the documentary film competition, two other competitions are also held for millennials and the people of Jambi province, namely the photography competition and the writing competition. The photography contest took the central theme, culture and traditions of the Jambi society, while the popular writing took the theme, museum as a learning media. According to Leni, for the three contests, the deadlines for submitting works is from June 8 to July 8, 2020. Comes from Boyolali, Central Java. Pertiwi Kindergarten's teachers Boyolali Regency Central Java opened an OMS fence on Jalan Anggrek No. 9, Pulisan Sub-District, to help communities affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. The teachers, as observed in Boyolali on Thursday, provided the school fence as a place to accommodate any kinds of assistance from residents to the people who are in need due to the COVID-19 pandemic in the area. Number of posters were posted on the OMS fence, including "Anyone can take," "Let's help each other in need," "Anyone can fill in," and "Take as enough." On the OMS fence, as number of residents put whatever aid is useful for people in need, including various food ingredients. Head of Pertiwi Kindergarten Boyolali Arianti said that the opening of the OMS fence was inspired by the existing Charity 3. The last information comes from Bogor, West Java. Bogor Agricultural University's IPB and Danone SN Indonesia held a labor-intensive program at the Biodiversity Park Kahati, located on the Dramaga campus of IPB Bogor. Vice President General Secretary of Danone Indonesia, Vera Galuh Sugianto, in her written statement on Wednesday said that the labor-intensive program was intended to help people affected by the implementation of the large-scale social restriction. The labor-intensive program at Taman Kahati IPB, which has been going on since May 5th to 22nd, 2020, actively involved 4 students and alumni who cannot return to their hometowns and 5 local residents who have lost income due to lack of economic activity. All parties involved carried out an inventory of trees, clearing areas, and planning for the grand design. This program uses cash-for-work approach so that the parties involved can immediately receive benefits through cash. Listener, that was news from across the country. I'm Nyuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, the first information is about the launching of Soyuz 11 on June 6, 1971. Soyuz 11 is the name of Soyuz's first visit to the space station. 3 cosmonauts that participated in the program were Georgi Dobrovolsky, Viktor Patsayevdan, and Vladislav Volkov. They were the first people to make it to the space station. Soyuz 11 was launched on 6th of June 1971 from a spaceport called the Baikonur Cosmodrome, and it landed on June 7, 1971. The human spacecraft traveled the space station for 22 days. When the spacecraft returned to the Earth on June 30, 1971, the exploration team opened the capsule and they found all the crew died due to suffocation. After the incident, the Soyuz spacecraft was redesigned to only accommodate 2 cosmonauts. The next information is on June 6, 1975, about Indonesian women's badminton team won the Uber Cup for the first time after defeating Japan by a score of 5-2. Through a long wait on June 6, 1975, the Uber Indonesia team won the championship for the first time. The pair of Minarni Sudaryanto and Regina became the decisive winner of Indonesia after winning 15-8, 15-11 over the Hiroe Yuki Mika Ikeda pair. In the final, witnessed by around 10,000 spectators at Istora Senayan, Jakarta, Japan had a 2-1 lead in the 3 single parties played. However, the Indonesian Uber team overall won 5-2 over Japan. Lastly, on June 6, 1988, Imam Khomeini was buried. On June 6, 1988, the body of the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini, was buried and accompanied by the grief of all the people of Iran. The funeral procession of Imam Khomeini set a record because it was followed by more than 10 million Iranians and other citizens. On June 5, 1989, the body laid at the Musalla Tehran. Then Imam Khomeini's body was brought to the area around Beheshte Zahra's Heroes Cemetery, where tens of thousands of martyrs of the revolution and martyrs of the war against the Saddam Ba'ath's regime were buried. And listener, that was Today in History.
Jika ada yang bilang ku tak baik,
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today on food and beverage industry ready for new normal. The Ministry of Industry Director General of Agro Industry Abdul Rohim said the food and beverage industry stated its readiness to operate in the new normal situation. Quoting from Antaranus Agency report last Wednesday, Abdul Rohim said the ministry was reviewing various proposals from the food and beverage industry players. This will be included in policies to restore productivities and growth in the sector ahead of the new normal phase. According to Rohim, the Ministry of Industry is also preparing a circular which can later be a guide in carrying out industrial activities in the new normal era. It will accommodate important points concerning COVID-19 prevention guidelines in office and industrial workplaces in supporting business sustainability in pandemic situations. However, to sustain the activities of these sectors, it is necessary to support the availability of raw materials and the smooth flow of logistics. Furthermore, Rohim's projects, the process of food and beverage products will be relatively stable in the new normal era. The Ministry of Industry has coordinated with the Indonesian Food and Beverage Entrepreneurs Association, and they are committed to maintaining price stability during the new normal period. According to Rohim, the main key to recovering the food and beverage industry sector lies with retail traders. Therefore, if later the shopping centers have begun to be open gradually, it is hoped that public demand will soon recover and be able to drive this industrial sector. With the implementation of the new normal phase, the food and beverage industry sector can grow by 4%. In addition, the utilization of this industrial sector, which had dropped to 50-60% due to the COVID-19 pandemic, is also expected to return to 80%. The Ministry of Industry noted the food and beverage industry is a sector that has a significant contribution to the national economy. In 2019, the growth of the food and beverage industry reached 7.78%. This figure is higher than the growth of the non-oil and gas industry, which is at 4.34%, and the national industry growth of 5.02%. In addition, in the same year, the food and beverage industry sector also contributed up to 36.40% to the gross domestic products of the non-oil and gas processing industry. This shows the important role of the food and beverage industry in the growth of industry and the national economy. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Yeah.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we will introduce you a beautiful tourist attraction in Gorontalo province, namely Pulau Cinta or the Island of Love. Cinta or the Island of Love is located in Talimuta District, Boa Lemurjensi, Gorontalo Province. As the name implies, Pulau Cinta, which has an exotic and romantic beach, is shaped like a heart. This heart-like shape adds to the romanticism of tourists visiting the island. Therefore, this island is also often used as a place for honeymoon. Initially, this island was an uninhabited island. One day, there was a Boa Lemu community who discovered this place. And finally, by the tourism office in Gorontalo, Pulau Cinta was finally inaugurated as one of the tourism attractions in Gorontalo at the Sail Tomini Gorontalo Festival. To Pulau Cinta can be taken through a trip from Gorontalo province. The distance from Gorontalo to Boa Lemo district takes about 2 hours by motor vehicles. After arriving there, you must continue to the Talimuta district and then continue to Balihuto beach tourism. On the beach, there are available boat services that can be rented to go to Pulau Cinta. The journey to this island is indeed quite long and causes quite a lot. Therefore, for easier and cheaper, tourists can look for tour packages to the Island of Love. To stay in the Island of Love, you find cottages. At present, there are only about 15 cottages. In addition, on this island, there are available facilities to enjoy the natural beauty. One of them is the boat rental provided to surround the 30-hectare mangrove forest. It costs 100,000 rupiah. For tourists who bring a camera other than a cellular phone, you will be charged an additional fee worth 1 million rupiah. That was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Pulau Cinta or the Island of Love. We'll meet again with other interesting topics. Bye bye!
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkinkan menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini. Kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini.
Tiada lagi, tiada cinta.
Well, listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about the irrigation based on the Internet of Things developed by the Agricultural Research and Development Agency. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. The development of modern internet-based agricultural technology 4.0 is time to be implemented in Indonesia in a bid to improve the sustainability of Indonesia as an agricultural country. This aims to continuously meet the increasing food needs and to achieve the ideals of becoming the world's foodborne. One technology that can be applied is sensor and automation technology in the field of irrigation and fertigation, which is well known in Indonesia, especially in controlled greenhouse systems. Agricultural Research and Development Agency through the Center for Agricultural Mechanization Development, or BBP MECTAN, in 2019 developed a smart irrigation technology based on the Internet of Things. This technology was developed by a sensor system that reads the condition of the land in the form of conditions of soil water content and the surrounding environment, as well as a control system for turning on and off the irrigation valve by using a microcontroller that can be connected to web server. Data monitoring and control of the IoT system are carried out through the internet network from the web server with the address at www.smartfarming.litbang.pertanian.go.id. The server has programmed two actions that can be performed as feedback. First one is the automatic watering action if the data communication with the server shows the need for watering actions as set by the user based on the threshold value of the soil moisture sensor reading. The second action is that in addition to being programmed automatically, the web server also provides a remote watering feature that can be spontaneously clicked on by users from different locations. The internet-based control system using this web server allows for future development towards control features that can be used not only for watering, but also for providing nutrients and detecting soil fertility and specifically connected with other plant growth elements. That was Miscellany for today. Thank you for listening.
Adakah sungguhnya aku kasih yang kau inginkan. Biar aku yang pergi, bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan. Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki. Adakah sungguhnya aku kasih yang kau inginkan? Biar aku yang pergi, bila tak juga pasti. Adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, pada bayangan. Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we'll present a keroncong song entitled Mengapa Kau Menangis. The song entitled Mengapa Kau Menangis is an original keroncong song whose lyric is not too long but full of meaning. The song tells about someone who is sad because he is afraid to be left by his girlfriend. But his girlfriend entertains him and makes sure that nothing will happen. She will come back and always accompany him. The song has simple lyric but is easy listening. Moreover, the song is sung by a singer with strong vocal character. Well, listener, here is Al Rizal with the keroncong song entitled Mengapa Kau Menangis.
Mengapa kau menangis?
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Dalla. See you on the next English program.